Good morning, church family. Welcome once again to 4th Street Online. This week, Pastor Daniel is going to be sharing with us what God's been laying on his heart during this time that we've been isolated from one another. The good news looks like we're moving forward to be able to gather again in person very, very, very soon. Look forward to seeing all of you. But for this today, let me start us off with a word of prayer. Father, we're so, so grateful for all that you have done for us. You are our Lord, our Savior, our Master. You are the one who is on the throne, and we just thank you for that. We thank you for your love for us, for your concern for us, and for what you want to speak to our hearts. So my prayer today, Lord, is that you would open our ears, our hearts, our minds, that we would hear you, and that we would accept the word that you have for us this day. God, you are so good. I'm so grateful, Lord. And I ask that you bless Pastor Daniel as he shares with us. Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mike. It's been a wonderful couple of weeks, actually, because, as you know, been preparing for not only what we have going on at church. At home, my family has had the privilege of watching our son, Isaiah. He walked last night at 7:30, which was a very, very blessed thing. And, you know, it's funny because although you miss out on some, you also gain other things that people didn't have. For instance, we might have been the first parents that I know who were able to be on the actual field while he graduated. So that was pretty amazing. And that video will be out in June, if anybody is looking forward to that. June 6th, they'll be releasing a graduation video. And as Pastor Mike said, I'm extremely happy that all roads look to be pointing back to us getting together very, very soon. And so with that, I may have the blessed privilege to give us our last online service without you, Lord willing. So let's start off with that. Now, there's a story of a young boy who walked into his kitchen one day, and he saw a watermelon sitting on the counter. He said to his mom, "Mom, can I have some of that watermelon?" His mom said, "No, I have something planned for that watermelon. I don't want you touching that watermelon. You understand me?" Little Johnny nodded his head in sadness. The boy went off to work. Just a short time later, the boy found himself right back in that kitchen, gazing at that watermelon. He remembered his mom's words. He heard them playing over and over in his head. But he couldn't help himself. He got a knife, he cut that melon open, and he ate the whole thing. As he took his last bite, a cloud of gloom came over him. He realized his mother would be home from work very shortly. He had to do something with the remains of that melon. So he went outside just a short distance from the kitchen. He dug himself a hole right outside the kitchen door, and he buried the remains of that melon. His mom came home, questioned him about the melon, and the boy denied knowing anything about its mysterious disappearance. He was all smiles, until sometime later, the boy looked out of his window there from the kitchen. He saw growing a plant, and on the plant was some vines, and on those vines were fresh watermelon. His mom looked out the window and said, "Would you look at that, Johnny? Do you know who might have planted that watermelon seeds?" Now, have you ever felt like that little boy? You've done something you know isn't right, or that God has been telling you to deal with, some sin or something lingering in your life, but most of us think that the convenient thing to do for yourself is to bury it, only to find out that it's sprouting more problems for your life than you can handle. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." You know, when we look at this amazing passage we often use to describe the authority of scripture, we can also get the ways in which the word of God is able to build up our lives. Now, we love to focus on the teaching. You can give me that all day long. We like to focus on training. And sometimes we'll take correcting, but we have a very hard time with rebuke. Rebuke is defined as this: expressing sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or actions. I thought it'd be useful for us today if in this service we take an in-depth look at the quiet message, which will deal specifically with the sin issues of our heart, what we do with those issues, and what we need to do. Now, why do I call this the quiet message? Now, imagine for a moment that your friend has been struggling with some major sin. And that sin is not only hindering their relationship with God, it's starting to destroy and break down their life. When would you purpose in your heart to say something? You take them out to the ball game, the second quarter, thousands of fans around? Would you follow them to work one day? Hey, this looks like a great place as any. Have a seat. How about on their vacation with their family? No, most people would see that the perfect place to intervene in such a dire situation would be in the quiet. A quiet place for a quiet message. In an isolated moment where you would have all of their full attention, where they would have the time to think about how to respond to the challenge they're presented with. Have we as a people, and specifically as a church, progressing through this pandemic with the rest of the nation, and as we progress through our time of stay-at-home orders beginning to be lifted, have we taken the time to inventory our lives? Have we been able to pause long enough to listen to God to see if He has wanted us to use this time to deal with the sin or maybe a harmful habit? Because remember, whether God caused or didn't cause this pandemic, He can use the circumstances to accomplish His purpose. And that purpose is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 says it like this: "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Now, I've seen a tale of two different people that will be returning to church services in the weeks to come. Now, one is the story of a person whose life has been stopped in its tracks because of this pandemic. They were living their lives nonstop, accomplishing so much, yet never dealing with the spiritual conditions of their lives. Accomplishing so much and dealing with so little. They were successful in their careers, but perhaps they were diving deeper into alcohol abuse. Perhaps they were over-medicating themselves just to stay ahead of life's demands. Others were busy with family, activities, relationships, and yet they were not dealing with their hidden struggles of lust that they kept locked away from others. And many others, they've had their own personal demons that they've battled. You know, perhaps yours isn't as dire as that. Perhaps yours has been as dire as breaking the first commandment. You might not have been doing these things, but you have forgotten to put God first. And then the pandemic hit, and these people were left with silence. All that was before them was to hear the voice of God, maybe for the first time in years. They will return to churches across America with stories of victory, of how God spoke to them in the quiet, about their sins, about their struggles that He's commanded them to put aside. No, these people are going to come back with so much to say to others. And the other story is of a person who had the same pre-life experiences and conditions as person number one, but when they get back to churches, they will have no victory to speak of. When you ask what God showed you through the pandemic, there will be no wisdom to share, because instead of taking advantage of the quiet, they found ways to make more noise to drown out the silence. Let's turn to Psalm 32, verses 1 and 5 here. "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit." When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. What exactly is taking place here in Psalm 32? Now, if you're not familiar with this is a psalm like many written by the second king of Israel, David. And David is just not floating ideas and thoughts, putting them on a paper. He's speaking of himself in a very particular time in his life. Now, in our world today, there's no denying the desire that people have to know the drama that involves others' lives, or any drama for that matter. Me and my son Vincent recently went to Sonic to grab a burger. And as we were grabbing a burger, there was a fire blazing right in front of the field between Walmart and Sonic. I told him, check that out. Look at all the people lined up next to the curb there, taking pictures. They got out their cars. They had their cameras on. We got a good laugh. Vincent got his camera out and started recording the people. And then we started seeing the people exiting Sonic and Home Depot. They were crossing directly in front of us. And I said, let's see how many of them actually know that we're staring at them. Every single one that passed by, head rubbernecked toward the fire. And so then you had many people watching the fire, and you had two bozos watching the many people. So we do love to watch others. So looking at this passage, our thoughts would say, what could David possibly be talking about? Well, question no more. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verses 1 and 2 says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and he walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And what we read here is the beginning of what will lead David to write Psalm 32. What starts as an accidental observation of a woman bathing is not only going to turn into adultery, not only to a compromise of character, but ultimately into murder. Much like that fire in front of Sonic. This is one of the parts of scripture where many of us pull over. We want to watch the show, if you will. But if we're going to really allow the word of God to bring change in our life, to conform us into the image of Christ here in this passage, we need to ask the question that everybody wants to know when we see a fire, an accident, an incident, police car, an ambulance. I wonder what happened. Now we all say, I wonder what happened. Well, the first thing that we're going to see in 2 Samuel 11:1 is that David was not in the place that David was supposed to be. The Bible says that during the time when kings went off to war, meaning David being a king should have been off to war, not sipping pina coladas on his rooftop. So much like David, we will always find ourselves in danger when we're in places we were never intended to be in life. And what started as an innocent look turned into a curious question. In 2 Samuel 11:3, the Bible says David sent someone to find out about her. When you're not in the place in life that God wants you to be, where you're in active communication with God, something that you start to lose is your common sense. Now, after David sends someone to find out about her, they report to David, this is a married woman. A woman married to one of your fighting soldiers, David. At this point, David does what leads us all to continue down the dark alley of sin. David dismisses wise counsel. Even after being told that this is a married woman, and by the way, you even know her husband, David throws reason out the window and demands that this woman be brought to him. And his plans aren't dinner and a movie. So an innocent look turned into a curious question, which now turns into a damaging sin. This is how we get further down the alley of sin's grip. David, after learning that this woman is pregnant, found out, like us, that the easiest thing to do is usually the hardest. The easiest thing to do is to confess, come clean. But we all know that as easy as that sounds, it can wreak havoc and torture our nervous systems. So like a lot of us, David began to bury his watermelon seeds. He tried to set up a romantic night between the woman and her husband Uriah, but is unsuccessful time after time. And the reason he's unsuccessful, it's like a slap in the face to David. The man of integrity Uriah says, "How can I go enjoy this night with my wife while men are fighting on the battlefield?" Ouch. You know, in desperation, David does the unthinkable and sends orders to all but ensure that Uriah would die in battle. He even sends Uriah with the order, a sealed note. Now, I want to pause and acknowledge that it's easy to look at the sins of another laid out in front of us and throw some stones. It's easy to be shocked by their actions. The higher the profile the person, the bigger the shock. Whenever I share this message with youth groups for the first time, their eyes get as big as any other message I've ever given. Surely not David. Surely not the one we learned in Sunday school that bravely defeated the giant with just a sling and a stone. But please pause here and reflect for a second on the holes that you've been digging to cover your own watermelon seeds. Our own sins that we've tried to hide. And much like little Johnny hiding his watermelon seeds, David is finding out that his sin is causing more pain than it's worth. The moment after David is told that Uriah had been lost in the battlefield, we get a very callous response from David. Here it's found in 2 Samuel 11:25. David told the messenger, "Say this to Joab, don't let this upset you. The sword devours one as well as another. Press the attack against the city and destroy it. Say this to encourage Joab," he said. Did you know that this response is out of character for David? In 2 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 3, David grieves over the death of his rivals. Saul, who was one on many occasions, tried to take David's life from him. And Abner, another enemy of David, he grieves for enemies. Yet here is a righteous man fighting a fight that David should be fighting as well for David's cause. And it appears he's very passive about it. No, but walking down that long alley of sin will bring about justifying what we do wrong. The final step we will look at is ignoring your sin. You know that for a whole year, David buried his sin and refused to deal with it. You know, maybe like us, he kept himself so busy that he had to come to the point in life where he forgot that there was a sin to deal with at all. I don't believe, however, that that's what took place. See, David had such a desire to live an upright life that hiding his sin was causing great pain. You want to know why I think that? Psalm 32. See, David said in Psalm 32, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." David had such a heart for God, it was tearing him up inside to be hiding this sin. You know, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you sin, he will convict you. That brings me to what I want to finish with today. God is such a good God. He is such a loving, all-knowing God that he did something to help David. God sent him a rebuke. Remember 2 Timothy 3:16. We don't like the rebukes, but they're very necessary at times. They're not meant to harm you, but rather to heal you. A prophet named Nathan showed up in chapter 12. He had a mission from God to confront David with the sin that he was trying to hide for the past year. And after he gives a story to illustrate to David of a wicked man, a wicked man who had a traveler show up, this wicked man would take the only animal of a poor man and his family and slaughter that animal. All the while, this wicked man had fields of animals to feed his friend, to choose from. David, in anger, he's so angered to the point where he wants to see this wicked man pay for the sin with his life. And Nathan, in a rebuke, says, David, you are that man. You're the man, David. And David's year-long struggle of trying to hide his sin is brought out in the open, and he is finally able to deal with it. And in the process, writes Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. See, Nathan had a quiet message for David, and David took the time to listen. Does that describe you today? You know, I believe that this pandemic and the way that God purposes it has been a quiet message for many of us. Have you taken the time to listen to see if God is calling you to deal with the sin that you've buried under the dirt of busyness? You've buried it under the dirt of addiction. Now, like I said, many of us will say, I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. Pay my taxes. I live according to the laws of the land. I love my family. But you perhaps may be breaking the biggest sin of them all. You have not loved God with all your heart. Perhaps God has been trying to get your attention during this pandemic. You know, rebuke can be a wonderful thing if we have a heart that is ready to listen. It can take your walk with God to a whole new level, and you can experience the presence of God in ways like never before. Ravi Zacharias, a brilliant mind that the world recently lost, said that he believed his mission in life was to help the believer to think and the thinker to believe. I thought, what a wonderful mission. I pray that you will all pause long enough to think about what God might be trying to call you to deal with. When you come back together and someone asks you what God has been revealing to you in this pandemic, your answer will depend on if you took the time to listen to the quiet message that is able to help conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. Whether that message be teaching, whether it be training, whether it be correction, and yes, even if it's a rebuke. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to pray over my church family here, Lord. I want to pray over anyone who's listening to this message. Lord, one of the wonderful things that we're getting in the news after so much bad news, Lord God, is that things are beginning to flatten. Things are beginning to open up. But as wonderful as that is, Lord God, it'd be really sad if during this time we find ourselves farther from God than when we first began. I pray that wouldn't be the case. I pray that anyone hearing this message would be able to take inventory of what they're doing right now. Lord, have I been listening? Have I been seeking answers? Not just in general for why this happened, but why this may have happened for me. Lord, pray that those that ask that would get a response. You say, Father God, you give wisdom to those that ask. You do it impartially. That's my prayer for them. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor Daniel. That's a challenging word and something we all need to hear. Are we listening to God's voice? Are we open to Him correcting us and doing it to guide and direct us that we would grow closer to Him? I want to close off this morning by praying for our church family. So would you join me once again in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the good news that we hear out there. We thank you that you are the one who is on the throne, that you are the one who is in control. We thank you that you have never left us during this time, that you've continued to speak to us, that you've continued to challenge us. you continue to stretch us and cause us to grow. Lord, I pray, as Pastor Daniel did, as we get back together, we'll have some many amazing stories to share with one another. And Father, may some of those stories be of how you have healed us physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, Lord. Pause too, Lord, to pray for those in our congregation who are struggling physically right now. Thelma Lowry, Monica Whitaker, Tom, Ray, and Joyce Whitaker. God, just, and I'm sure there are many, many others that we're not aware of. Many who have been struggling physically or facing situations that they never thought they would face before. Lord, be with them. Calm their spirits. Bless them with your peace. And we pray, Lord, that you would heal their bodies. God, I continue to pray that as we gather together for the first time very, very soon, possibly next week, Lord, that as we gather together, that we will come together to praise your name, to glorify you, and to testify to the wonderful mercies that you have shown us. Amen. Well, thank you, church family, for joining us once again. Hope to see you in person next week. And again, many, many amazing things happening here in our sanctuary and around the church. Can't wait to share them all with you. Love you guys. See you all real soon. Bye. Under 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. Where'd Joe go?
Yep. Thank you. Yeah. We're not, I don't know if you're driving a Prius, you can't hear if he drove off or not. I'll start this downloading.